Isabel Allende's City of the Beasts has captivated readers worldwide since its publication in 2002, selling over 2 million copies and being translated into more than 30 languages. This coming-of-age adventure follows 15-year-old Alexander Cold as he journeys through the Amazon rainforest with his eccentric journalist grandmother. The novel marks Allende's first foray into young adult literature after establishing herself as a literary powerhouse with works like The House of the Spirits. What makes this book particularly fascinating is how Allende weaves indigenous mythology with environmental activism and spiritual awakening, creating a narrative that resonates with both teenagers and adults. Even celebrities like Emma Watson have praised the book for its powerful portrayal of indigenous cultures and environmental consciousness. Let's dive into this extraordinary adventure that blends reality with mysticism in the world's most mysterious jungle. Alexander Cold's world is crumbling. His once vibrant mother, Lisa, lies bedridden with cancer, a ghost of her former self. The family that once functioned like a well-oiled machine now exists in chaos. His father, John, attempting to make inedible pancakes, his sister, Andrea, retreating into fantasy worlds, and little Nicole collecting stray animals. The house, once a place of warmth and order, has descended into neglect. When Alex awakens from a terrifying nightmare of a giant black vulture carrying his mother away, it seems prophetic. Soon after, he discovers his father shaving his mother's head in preparation for chemotherapy treatments. In a fit of rage and despair, Alex destroys his bedroom, cutting his hand on broken glass, physical pain that barely registers against his emotional turmoil. The situation takes an unexpected turn when Alex's father announces that while his mother undergoes specialized treatment in Texas and his sisters stay with their maternal grandmother, Alex must go to New York to stay with his paternal grandmother, Kate. Not just any grandmother, but Kate Cold, an eccentric, tough-as-nails reporter for International Geographic magazine who drinks vodka, smokes a sailor's blipe, and has survived malaria and scorpion bites without ever seeing a doctor. What's more, Alex won't be staying in New York. Instead, he'll be accompanying his grandmother on an expedition to the Amazon rainforest to search for a mysterious humanoid creature called the Beast. For a 15-year-old boy, already grappling with his mother's illness, this forced adventure feels like abandonment. The image of his mother, small, vulnerable, with her newly shaved head, waving goodbye through tears as he boards the plane, will haunt him throughout his journey. This fracturing of Alex's family serves as the emotional foundation for his coming transformation. Torn from everything familiar at his most vulnerable moment, he's thrust into a world where the rules he's known all his life no longer apply. His journey begins not with excitement, but with grief, anger, and fear, emotions that will be both challenged and transformed by the extraordinary experiences that await him in the Amazon. Kate Cold is no ordinary grandmother. At 64, she's lean and muscular with leathery skin, sharp blue eyes, and a no-nonsense attitude that borders on cruelty. She drinks vodka, smokes black tobacco in a sailor's pipe, and dresses in practical clothing with multiple pockets. Her grandchildren simultaneously fear and adore her, eagerly anticipating her rare visits and the exotic tales she brings from around the world. Alex's introduction to New York is a disaster. After Kate fails to meet him at the airport, he's robbed of his backpack containing his return ticket, money, and precious flute by a girl named Morgana who tricks him with a sob story. When he finally reaches Kate's apartment, she seems unsympathetic to his plight, but surprises him by giving him his grandfather Joseph Cold's celebrated flute, a far superior instrument to his stolen one. Over dinner, Kate explains their upcoming expedition. International Geographic is financing a journey to the Amazon to search for a mysterious humanoid creature taller than a bear with long arms and black hair. This beast reportedly leaves a paralyzing odor and has killed several people. The expedition will be led by Professor Ludovic LeBlanc, an anthropologist who claims the local Indians are the most savage on the planet, and guided by a Brazilian named Cesar Santos who has good relations with the tribes. "Don't believe everything you read in books, Alexander," Kate warns when he expresses skepticism about the beast. "With age comes humility about what we truly know of the world." The expedition team is a colorful assembly of personalities and agendas. Professor LeBlanc, a small man with a Napoleon complex, insists that brutality is natural and compassion merely a modern invention that weakens humanity. Dr. Omaira Torres, a government doctor responsible for protecting indigenous peoples from diseases carried by outsiders, challenges LeBlanc's theories with her decade of practical experience. Timothy Bruce handles photography, Joel Gonzalez manages filming, and Kate will write the article. The journey begins in earnest when they reach Santa Maria de la Lluvia, the last outpost of civilization, a sleepy collection of stilted buildings where settlers raise cattle or mine gold while secret trafficking of exotic birds, drugs, and weapons occur. Here they meet their guide, Cesar Santos, and his honey-skinned daughter, Nadia, who wears colorful ribbons, a yellow flower, a green feather earring, and has a small black monkey named Baroba on her shoulder. Nadia immediately forms a connection with Alex, explaining that her Canadian mother left 3 years ago when she couldn't adjust to the jungle and began having disturbing reactions to the beast's presence. This first hint that the beast might be more than myth plants a seed of curiosity in Alex's mind that will grow throughout the expedition. As Alex and Nadia's friendship develops, they discover sinister undercurrents beneath the expedition's scientific purpose. One night, unable to sleep in the fragile-walled hotel, they overhear Captain Ariosto and wealthy entrepreneur Mauro Carias plotting. The men discuss using the expedition members as unwitting witnesses to report exactly what they want them to see, while revealing their true intention, eliminating indigenous people to access emeralds and diamonds in tribal territory. The next day, the expedition visits Carius's luxurious jungle compound, several trailers arranged in a clearing near Santa Maria de la Lluvia, protected by electric fences and numerous guards. The contrast between this technological fortress and the surrounding jungle highlights the intrusion of exploitative commerce into the natural world. During lunch, Carius questions Cesar about his daughter Nadia, even offering to become her godfather and educate her in the city, a proposition that clearly makes both father and daughter uncomfortable. When Nadia mentions she can talk to animals, Carius invites everyone to see his caged black jaguar. In a moment that will prove pivotal, Alex feels mysteriously drawn to the magnificent cat. Removing his glasses, he experiences a mystical connection where they exchange names in a vision with six moons. Meanwhile, Carius cruelly throws a monkey into the cage. Before the jaguar can kill it, Cesar shoots the cat, claiming he set it free. A tense standoff follows before Kate leads them away. Later, Nadia explains to Alex that the jaguar was his totemic animal. His true name is Jaguar. This first encounter with the spiritual dimension of the Amazon begins Alex's transformation from skeptical city boy to someone who can see with the heart. As the expedition prepares to depart upriver, Professor LeBlanc hires a mysterious man named Karakaway as his personal assistant. When Nadia announces she's joining them, fearing Carius's attention if left behind, LeBlanc objects strenuously, but is overruled. The journey upriver reveals more about the character's true natures. When Professor LeBlanc claims Indians are cannibals who kill for women, both Dr. Torres and Cesar Santos challenge his theories, revealing LeBlanc had manipulated Indians to act according to his instructions for his documentary. Meanwhile, Alex learns to handle a pistol, feeling a strange power with the weapon despite his parents' aversion to guns. Their journey takes a terrifying turn when Joel Gonzalez is attacked by an 18-foot anaconda while swimming. The team works together to save him, with Dr. Torres treating his broken ribs using primitive but effective jungle medicine. That night, as the group roasts and eats the anaconda meat, Alex experiences a strange vision of his mother, which Nadia explains is seeing with the heart, something shamans can do from afar. As the expedition continues deeper into the Amazon, the group's isolation becomes complete when their radio breaks and the soldiers desert with their boat. Tensions rise as they wait for rescue, with Alex and Nadia growing increasingly suspicious of Karakawi, whom they've caught examining Dr. Torres's vaccine boxes. One evening, as Alex plays his flute by the campfire, Nadia's monkey Boroba becomes agitated. Following the animal's lead, Alex and Nadia slip away from camp and encounter the mysterious people of the mist, naked, painted figures who blend perfectly into the forest. Though armed with primitive weapons, they make no threatening moves. After several minutes, the ghost-like figures vanish as silently as they had appeared. "These are the most remote and mysterious Indians of the Amazon," Nadia whispers, warning Alex not to tell anyone about this encounter. The next day, the remaining soldiers desert with the expedition's last boat, leaving the group completely isolated. As tensions mount between Professor LeBlanc and Kate Cold, Caesar takes charge, assuring everyone that help will arrive within days. That evening, when Alex plays his flute again, the people of the mist return, drawn by the music. As Alex and Nadia venture slightly away from camp to see them, they are suddenly seized, blindfolded, and carried away through the jungle. When they reach Tapirawawa Teri, the village of the People of the Mist, Alex discovers it's unlike the typical Indian Shobono. Instead, it consists of small structures made of mud, stone, sticks, and straw that blend perfectly with nature, making it impossible to spot from the air. The pale-skinned, amber-eyed villagers move with extraordinary lightness, almost floating. Following Nadia's lead, Alex removes his clothes to blend in with the naked Indians. To his surprise, he finds he can understand their melodious language if he listens with his heart. The village maintains strict social organization. Adolescent boys and unwed men live in a common hut where Alex is placed, while Nadia stays with the family of Mokarita, the village chief. Alex learns that the people of the mist have lived the same way for thousands of years, jealously guarding their location and rejecting all foreign goods. Unlike other tribes, they have no metal objects whatsoever. Their daily life involves hunting, gathering fruits and honey, fishing, and preparing food. Alex joins the young men collecting palm fruits using an ingenious climbing technique with crossed poles to avoid the sharp spines. Through his immersion in their culture, Alex begins to appreciate a way of life completely different from his own, one in harmony with nature rather than attempting to conquer it. When Mokarita dies, the tribe falls into mourning, painting themselves with mud, charcoal, and ash. The warriors, drunk on Masato and high on Yopo powder, grow eager to find and destroy whoever caused Mokarita's death. During this chaos, one warrior has a vision that Alex is responsible. The drugged warriors give chase, but before they can harm him, Walimai, a mysterious shaman, arrives with his angel wife. Walimai's presence calms the tribe. He explains that Alex has the soul of a black jaguar and has come to help them against the Rahakanariwa, a mythical cannibal bird. The shaman describes the Nahab, foreigners, as soulless beings who have no knowledge, cannot hunt, wear stinking cloth, and leave trails of filth and poison. After Mokarita's funeral, where everyone, including Alex and Nadia, drinks a mixture containing his ground bones, officially making them part of the tribe, Walimai directs them to choose a new chief. He warns they need someone who can understand other worlds, communicate with gods, and hold the Rahakanariwa at bay during these times of a sky with six moons. Walimai then leads Alex and Nadia on an extraordinary journey to the Sacred Eye of the World, a tepui or tabletop mountain believed to be the dwelling place of the gods. After a grueling climb and passage through a crystal cavern, they encounter a magnificent dragon-like creature with phosphorescent scales and ruby red eyes. Their journey continues through tunnels and grottos, revealing incredible marvels. Four-winged red birds that growl like dogs, blind white cats, golden-winged fish that swim and fly, and carnivorous flowers with fleshy tentacles. Finally, emerging onto a rock balcony, they behold a breathtaking sight. A circular valley with perfect lakes, waterfalls, and at its center, the legendary El Dorado gleaming like a crown. Six transparent moons float in the milky sky. As they reach the valley floor, they encounter the Beast, a gigantic man-ape over 10 feet tall with powerful arms, a melancholy face on a disproportionately small head, and 3 knife-sharp claws on each hand. Moving with incredibly slow movements, it resembles a giant sloth. Through painfully slow dialogue, Alex and Nadia learn that for countless centuries, the people of the Mist had protected the secret location of the gods, while the Beasts served as living repositories of tribal history. Without writing, the Indians preserve their 20,000-year history through these creatures, who forget nothing. In a council with the Beasts, Alex and Nadia request 3 crystal eggs and the water of health as their reward for helping protect the sacred mountain. The Beasts grow angry at this violation of the law of exchange, demanding something of equal value in return. Desperate, Alex offers his grandfather's flute and begins playing, creating magical music that echoes throughout the Crystal City. Nadia spontaneously begins dancing, embodying the movements of animals and elements. For thousands of years, no music had been heard in the Tapui, and the Beasts absorb each note and movement, storing them as part of their legend. In exchange for these gifts, the Beasts grant their requests, but insist they must complete their task separately. Nadia must climb to the highest part of the Tapui to find the nest with 3 magnificent eggs from her vision, while Alex must descend into the depths of the earth to find the water of health. They have only until the next nightfall to complete their missions and return to the outside world, or they will remain trapped forever in the sacred Tapui. Nadia climbs the steep rock wall, fighting her fear of heights by channeling her totemic eagle spirit. For hours she ascends, hands bleeding, until she reaches the summit where she experiences a transcendent spiritual state. Following an instinctive certainty, she finds the nest with 3 crystal eggs but can't lift them despite their small size. Remembering Walamai's teaching about giving and receiving, she realizes she must sacrifice something valuable. After hesitation, she places her protective talisman in the nest, and only then can she take the eggs. Meanwhile, Alexander descends into the earth through a pitch-black tunnel. Fighting claustrophobia and terror, he slithers forward like a snake through the increasingly narrow passage. Several times he nearly turns back, but memories of his mother push him onward. When panic overwhelms him, his father's voice guides him. "Be calm. Seek your center. Breathe." Eventually, Alexander reaches a cave with a milky lake where a siren-like apparition tempts him. Recognizing this as a distraction, he continues along a narrow ledge beside a white river. Further on, he discovers walls embedded with precious gems, but remembers his true mission and presses onward. After clearing a rock pile, Alexander enters a cavern containing a lava pit and encounters a massive albino vampire bat with a 15-foot wingspan, possibly the Rahakanariwa of Indian legend. Using his grandfather's flute, he hypnotizes the creature and discovers the fountain of eternal youth, merely a trickle of water down the rock wall. Following Walamai's principle of giving something of equal value, Alexander sacrifices his precious flute to collect the healing water in his gourd. When Alex and Nadia return to Taparawateri, they discover helicopters have arrived. Cautiously approaching the village, they observe soldiers, tents, and gifts meant to lure the Indians who have wisely disappeared. They're overjoyed to spot Kate, Caesar Santos, and Timothy Bruce among the newcomers. After reuniting with the expedition team, Nadia carefully navigates Mauro Carias' questions about the whereabouts of the Indians, while Dr. Torres explains the urgent need to vaccinate the tribe against diseases that could devastate them. Alexander bottles the water of health for his mother, and Kate embraces her grandson when he reveals his discovery of the fountain of eternal youth. That night, Nadia slips from their tent using the invisibility technique she learned from the people of the mist and meets Walamai, asking him to convince his people to accept vaccination. Meanwhile, Alex dreams of the black jaguar calling his name. Kate explains his name means Defender of Men, a warrior name she chose to help him fight for justice. The next day, Iyomi, the ancient chief of chiefs, approaches the camp alone. Through Nadia's careful translation, Iyomi initially rejects the Nahab's gifts and threatens war. After accepting food from Dr. Torres, she disappears into the forest, only to return later with her entire tribe materializing mysteriously before the astonished expedition. As Dr. Torres prepares to vaccinate them, Alex suddenly realizes a terrible truth. The vaccine contains deadly measles virus. He tackles Tahama just as the needle approaches his arm. Karakawe reveals himself as an officer investigating tribal deaths, accusing Karius of genocide. Captain Ariosto shoots Karakawe dead, and Karius destroys the vaccine vials. Chaos erupts as Tahama kills Karius with his club, soldiers fire at fleeing Indians, and several people die in the melee. Even LeBlanc shows unexpected courage, rescuing a baby whose mother was killed. As Captain Ariosto forces the International Geographic group to line up at gunpoint, Alex realizes Torres was Karius' accomplice in a scheme to eliminate tribes and steal their lands. That night, as the soldiers shiver in their wet clothes, Nadia slips out of their tent using the invisibility technique and vanishes into the forest. Alex, tied to a tree by Ariosto, receives unexpected help when Walamai appears and cuts his bonds with Alex's Swiss Army knife. As they escape into the jungle, the beast's overwhelming odor knocks out everyone in camp. The people of the mist, who had fled their village days earlier when they spotted the helicopters, collect their dead and move the unconscious Nahab to a clearing in the jungle. When Kate and the others awake, they are disoriented and sick from the beast's stench. Caesar Santos takes command of the leaderless soldiers. The tribe surrounds them, but doesn't attack. When Alex returns to his family in California, he brings more than just the water of health for his mother. He carries within him a profound transformation. From an angry, confused teenager to a young man who has discovered his true nature as a defender of the weak and protector of ancient wisdom. The water from the Fountain of Youth helps his mother recover, though Alex knows it's not a miracle cure, but rather a symbol of hope and the power of belief. More important than the physical water is what he has learned about courage, sacrifice, and seeing beyond surface appearances. His grandmother Kate's International Geographic article about the expedition becomes a sensation, though she carefully omits any mention of the crystal eggs, the water of health, or the true nature of the beasts as guardians of tribal memory. Some things, she understands, must remain sacred and protected from exploitation. Professor LeBlanc publishes a book revising his theories about indigenous peoples, acknowledging their sophisticated social structures and deep connection to nature. His experience with the baby he rescued has softened his previously harsh views on survival of the fittest. For Alex, daily life in California now seems both familiar and strange. He finds himself more patient with his sisters, more appreciative of simple comforts, and more aware of the natural world around him. Sometimes at night, he plays his new flute, a gift from Nadia before they parted, and feels a connection to the jaguar spirit that now lives within him. The crystal eggs remain with Walamai and the people of the mist, who have relocated their village deeper into the forest beyond the reach of helicopters and the greed of men like Karius. Nadia continues to live with her father, serving as a bridge between the world of the Nahab and the indigenous peoples of the Amazon. Alex knows their paths will cross again. The bond they formed, two young people from different worlds united by extraordinary experiences, transcends distance and time. Just as the beasts preserve the history of the people of the Mist, Alex and Nadia now carry forward the responsibility of protecting the sacred knowledge they've been entrusted with. In his dreams, Alex sometimes returns to the Eye of the World with its six moons and magical creatures. He understands now what his grandmother Kate meant about humility in the face of mystery. The world is far larger, stranger, and more wonderful than he ever imagined, and his journey has only just begun.